Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful for this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. We certainly desire the prayers of those of you that know the Lord, and by the Lord's help, we certainly pray that we could be used of God to be a blessing. And before we get started today, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Lord, we're just so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been good to us, so much better than we deserve. And Father, we pray that you would lead, guide, and direct in the service. Father, we pray that you would touch the hearts of those that are listening, that those that are saved could be drawn by your Holy Spirit to walk closer to you and be the light in this world that you would have us to be. And Father, for the lost, that you would draw them by your Holy Spirit, that they could see their need to turn and trust in Christ before it be everlasting too late. Father, we ask for your leadership, your blessings, and we ask for you to remember the prayer requests that have been mentioned by many. And Father, we ask all this in the name of Jesus, for he is worthy. Amen. As we come today, we're going to turn to a couple of places. But I want to begin in 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, I want to read verse 1. Here it says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Now here it's looking at Christ, and it tells us something that he's going to do. What's he going to do? When he returns, what is he going to do? He's going to judge. Now, there's a lot of people today that say, well, Christians are not supposed to judge. If anybody preaches that, please run away. I don't know what else to say. If you've got a preacher that preaches that, try to help him if you can. If you can't, find a place that teaches the truth. We are to judge. And John 7:24, it says, judge righteous judgment. It tells us one day we're going to judge the angels. That we can also judge one another. We're to bring things to light. We're to reprove things. We're to make judgment calls all the time. We're to judge between good and evil. What we're supposed to do is be careful in how we judge. But Christ is coming to judge. And we actually know the standard he's going to judge because he's already laid out that standard in Scripture. Some people say, only God can judge me. Well, guess what? He already has. He's already rendered judgment. He's already placed it down. You go into John chapter 3, and a lot of people love to read verse 16, but they don't read the verses that follow that tell you you've already been considered guilty. You've already been judged to be guilty before God because you have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. All mankind is guilty before God. You go through the book of Romans, and I know there's scriptures that people love to say, you know, oh, look at this one. God's talking about salvation. God's talking about the free gift. But he also talks about the wages of sin, which is death. And the only way you avoid that judgment is you turn to Christ. But God is telling us how he's going to judge. He gives us the law. And even in the book of Romans, what is the purpose of the law? Some people say, well, the law is Old Testament. We need to do away with it. You haven't read the book of Romans if you say that. Or you don't understand what you're reading when you read the book of Romans if you say that. And again, I'm not trying to cast stones or be mean or be smart alecky or anything like that. I'm trying to lay down the point that the Bible says that the law is needful. Do you know that every person who is not trusted in Christ is still under the curse of the law? Well, how do you know that? Well, it's testified in Romans. A lot of people say, oh, we're under grace. The only people under grace is the people that have trusted in Christ. Everyone else is going to be judged by the standard of the law. And we already know what that judgment is. And there's not a single person who will be righteous in the eyes of God by the law. Because if you've broken one of the least commandments, it says you're guilty of all the law. There's a lot of people not preaching the law. They're like, well, you know, law is not needful anymore. And I'm going, everybody that's lost is still under it. Everybody that is lost is still bound to the curse of that law. Their only redemption is Christ. And if we're not preaching the law to them and we're not letting them know, here's the law, here's where you've transgressed, guilty. And the only way you can be reconciled to God, the only way you can be justified is through Christ. The only way you can receive the pardon of sin, the free pardon of sin, is when you turn to Christ. But if you don't have that, you need to hear the law. Because you need to know you're guilty. And you've been judged. And you've been found wanting. You've been found lacking. You've been found guilty. And there's a lot of people that don't want to hear that. But it's needful. Because when Christ comes back, He's coming not as a lamb to be slain. He's coming as a lion out of the tribe of Judah. He's coming as a judge that is going to bring judgment upon this world for its sins. And the only way to escape the wrath of God is through the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Let me look over in the book of John. We mentioned it earlier. But look over in chapter 3 of the book of John. And let's go to a verse that's not read near as much. Verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Judgment. And we've been talking about walking in the ways of Christ and walking in His ways. We've got to judge righteous judgment. Now, we tell the people the truth in love. There's a reason we dealt with truth and then judgment. Because we've got to stand upon that. And we do have to stand upon the truth in love. I'm not going to somebody and saying, listen, I'm better than you and look how wicked and awful you are. I'm going, I was where you are. And God showed me His love and His mercy, and He showed me that He wanted to save me. But He also had to show me that I was a sinner. He also had to show me that my ways were contrary to His ways. And that He had already judged me guilty. But yet I could be reconciled to Him through Christ. I could be justified in His eyes through Christ. And then after I have Christ, I receive the Holy Spirit of God with inside of my heart. And through that, I could overcome my flesh. And even serve God in this present world. But that not out of my strength or my might, but out of the Spirit of God. You know, you turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4. And he's talking about how people are running to the world and they're running in their riotous and they're running in their type of living and they're just committing the sins of the world. And he says in verse 5, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, lost, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. He's telling us God is coming. Christ is coming, and when He comes, He's going to judge. And there's no escape. You turn over to the book of Jude. Just the little book of Jude, dear friend. And he even talks about the angels that were in heaven. And you look here. And he says, verse 5, of Jude, it says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, and set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. He says, listen, God's done some things to get our attention before. He's left some examples, and we know who God is, and we know He's a righteous and He's a holy judge. Again, as much as I preach that God is love, He's also righteous, He's also holy, and He cannot deny Himself. It doesn't matter how much He loves you, and He has shown that through Christ. If you reject Christ, you have chosen His judgment, His wrath, over His love and mercy. He wants you to have love and mercy. But if you reject love and mercy, you, not He, you have chosen wrath for yourself. You've chosen judgment. And we forget that God is coming to judge. And He's going to judge in truth, by the standard of His word and His law. There's people say, oh, I think God loves me just like I am. And I don't have to repent. I don't have to trust in Him. I don't have to do anything. Okay. Try that out on Judgment Day. There's a reason it's called Judgment Day. He said even the angels didn't keep their first estate when they rebelled against God. In verse 14, he says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of thee, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of His saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. I tell you, there's people who evidently have not read much of the book of Revelation. Or they would understand when God comes, He's coming to judge. Do you know why we have the 7 years of tribulation? It's judgment upon the world. Judgment. And there's people who say, well, Christians can't judge. Yeah, they can. I can call sin, sin. What I need to be careful of is making sure I'm not walking in the sin I'm telling somebody else is sin. That's what is taught in the Scripture. People love to turn to Matthew, and I believe it's chapter 7. They say, well, judge not. And I'm going, you might want to read the next couple of verses. Just saying judge not is taking that way out of context. It is not teaching us not to judge. It is teaching us be careful how you judge, to make sure that you're not guilty and in need of repentance yourself. It is not saying do not judge. It is saying make sure you're not judging unrighteously. Again, as we mentioned from John chapter 7, verse 24, we're actually commanded to judge righteous judgment. And when Jesus comes and you find out in Revelation chapter 20, you know what you find in verse 11? He says, and I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. What do you think they're going to do when the ultimate judge says, I'm here for you? But there's no place of refuge. Some will try to hide under rocks. But they can't hide under rocks. There's no cave in Afghanistan hidden well enough from God. My goodness, He brings the souls out of the sea that have died in the ocean, is what the Scripture tells us. He brings people out of hell. There's no rock you can crawl under. There's no place to hide. there's coming a judgment day that there is no escape. And you know what the church is supposed to do? We're supposed to warn people about that day. We're supposed to compel them to turn to God's love and grace instead of His wrath. We're to preach to them, "Be ye reconciled to God while there is time." And dear friend, I don't know when that day's coming. Nobody does. Nobody knows the exact day and time. There's some people who says, "Oh, I'll wait." Do you know how many people today will wake up and go to work, or will go to think they're just going to work this week and will never come back home? You know how many people die every year in car wrecks? And they think, "Oh, I've got years ahead of me." You don't know what you've got ahead of you. And when the last trumpet sounds, you don't have opportunity. Some people say, "Well, I'll just wait." That's a dangerous game you're playing with eternal consequences. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Call upon Him while He may be heard, while He might hear your prayer. The devil's cast into the lake of fire. You think you're going to escape? And a lot of people have no idea how powerful Satan is. But the Bible calls him the God, lowercase g, God of this world. You have no idea how powerful he is. But compared to God, he's nothing. He will be destroyed simply by the word of God's mouth. And he'll be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And there they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. I've had people tell me, "Well, hell's only for a short time. It's until you burn up." I'm going, "I don't know what you do with that forever and ever part." A soul doesn't burn like flesh does. Hell is a place of torment where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And let me tell you this, in case you don't know it, hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. It's not his kingdom, as some fools who haven't read their Bible have stated. "Oh, Satan's got his kingdom and God's got his." Let me tell you what, Satan's kingdom is right here on earth right now. He's going to and from earth. He doesn't like fire. He doesn't like hell. And he doesn't like brimstone. No matter what books you've read, you actually read the Bible and you find out that is his torment. That is his destination for punishment. It was created for the punishment of Satan and his angels. It's not his dominion. You've bought into lies instead of knowing what the truth is according to the Word of God. He's going to go there and he's going to be tormented. And you're going to be tormented with him unless you turn to Christ. Because you're going to be judged. Now this throne here is the great white throne judgment. There's also a judgment called the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is for the saved. You know what's with Christ? Mercy. I'll still be judged by my works as far as my reward is concerned, but my works will have nothing to do with my salvation because that is sealed in Christ. But notice what these people are judged by. They're judged by the law. Says, "I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it, whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open." What books do you think those are? There's a record of your life and there's a record of the law of God. The law judges your actions. And there's no mercy here. There's just judgment. The books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. That's the important book. Because that's where your name is written if you trusted in Christ. That's a place of grace. And the dead were judged. Notice that. They were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Do you want to stand before God with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do you want to stand before Him with your works? I'll remind you that at man's very best they are filthy rags before God. You show me a filthy rag in heaven. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The law bears record of that. It's trying to get your attention so that you will repent and trust in Christ. If we would judge ourselves, we would avoid the judgment of God. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. That's their works going against the law of God. And there is no man that will be justified in the eyes of God by the law. We can be justified through the blood of Christ, but no man will be justified by the works of the law. What happens when you stand with your works and face God? You're going to be judged. Some people say, well, Christians shouldn't judge. They shouldn't say what I do is wrong. Do you know what we're trying to do if we're doing it right? We're trying to warn you. We're trying to plead with you. We're trying to get you to see you need to repent. You need to trust in Christ. Because judgment's already been passed. It is not a sin for any Christian to tell you what the judgment of God is. If they do that in the spirit of love, let me tell you, dear friend, they've done you a favor. Why did Jesus say that people wouldn't believe upon the name of the only begotten Son of God back in John chapter 3? He said, because their deeds were evil and they loved darkness rather than light. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to repent. They don't want to turn from their wickedness. They don't want to see their need of Christ. They want to continue to live in sin. And when they do that, they have chosen wrath instead of mercy. They've chosen judgment instead of pardon. He said, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The only thing that's going to make a difference is Jesus. I'm not saved because I live so good. I'm saved because I saw that I was a sinner. By the law, I understood that I was guilty before God. And in seeing that, I turned by faith and believed in God's promise of salvation, God's promise of redemption, God's promise of pardon through Jesus Christ. That's the only reason I'm saved. I'm not better than anybody else. I don't deserve it more than anybody else. That's why we're trying to share it with everybody. That same pardon is offered to you. But if you reject the pardon, you've chosen judgment. And the wrath of God abides upon you. It's not what God desires. That's the reason He gave His only begotten Son, so that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's enough blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to cover everybody that's ever been born or ever will be born if they would turn and believe upon Christ. God provided the way of escape for man's sin. For by one man, Adam, that sin was sin imputed to all the world. And the second Adam, Christ, through him all can be saved, who will simply turn and believe upon him. See who you are, a sinner, and turn to Christ as your only hope for salvation, and God will save you for Christ's sake. Pardon is offered to every single person on this earth. To the vilest of sinner, pardon is offered. But because many don't want to admit that they're a sinner, they decide they never want to turn to Christ because they'd rather live in their sin. Because their deeds are evil, they reject the free gift of salvation, the free gift of pardon from God. But let me tell you this, dear friend, as we follow God, you're going to have to make some judgments. Judging is a part of the character of God. And God's people should judge righteous judgment. We should call sin, sin. We should call false teaching, false teaching. We should call false gospels and false salvation what they are. And we should stand and uphold the truth of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world, that only through Him can you receive the forgiveness of sins. And it's offered freely to whosoever would believe. But dear friend, we have to judge. And if I ever tell somebody, you're in wrong, you're in sin, it's not because I hate them. It's because I want them to repent. I want them to be saved. I want them to turn to Christ before it's too late. And that's what we should desire as God's people. We're to judge righteous judgment. We are to make judgments. We are to judge. We're to judge by the authority of Scripture and not our own personal judgments. And dear friend, we need to do that. And when Jesus comes, you need to understand, when He comes, He's coming as a righteous and holy judge. And your last name won't matter. What's in your bank account won't matter. Your fame or lack thereof won't matter. Your poverty won't matter. All these other things that you can think of won't matter. Blaming mama and daddy, blaming preachers, blaming churches, blaming everybody else, it won't work. You will be judged by your works, by the standard of the law of God. And everybody is guilty in that standard. And the only way to be saved is to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who became sin for us, who lived that perfect and sinless life, so that His righteousness can be imputed to whosoever believes upon Him. And I pray, while there's time and opportunity, you'll believe upon Him before it's too late. We do want you to feel free that if you'd have a burden, anything upon your heart, if I ever say something and you're not clear about it and you got questions don't bother me. And I'll be glad to do my best to answer them by Scripture. Just feel free. That if we can be used, you just feel free. Our number is 601-606-4681. You can write us, Brandon Hartfield, 8 Smith Drive, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, 39401. You can email us, our email address, brobrandonh@aol.com. That's brobrandonh@aol.com. You can also look us up with a website we're affiliated with, faithwaymissionarybaptist.com. It has all of our doctrinal beliefs on there, what we stand for. There's some messages, there's some study resources. You feel free to go there, faithwaymissionarybaptist.com. Look us up there. We'd be glad to hear from you. And certainly we pray for God's blessings on the service. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, Father, we're so thankful for your word and what it means to us. Father, we're so thankful that you judge righteously and holy. And Father, we pray that we'd look at your judgment, see the truth of it, and accomplish your will in all things. Father, we ask all this in the name of Jesus, for he is worthy. Amen.